Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with pastor of Reunion Church in Dallas, Texas, Richard Ellis. He'll take the next few minutes to encourage us with Christmas hope and to challenge us to learn more and grow closer to God's greatest gift, His Son, our Savior, Jesus. It's the 25 Talks of Christmas, a different holiday-themed talk each and every day, all month long. Of course, you can always listen to, download, and share this or any talk anytime from the 25 Talks of Christmas Advent calendar at richardellistalks.com. So let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
All right, I got a bunch of stuff to read here, so I'm going to have to axe one of them. You know, we don't have a lot of time. The worst news headlines. Okay, listen close. These are headlines out of newspapers. Something went wrong in jet crash, experts say. Police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. Drunk gets 9 months in violin case. Let me start over again. I don't know if we're all here. Iraqi head seeks arms. You know, it's weird, the ones you like. This just was so weird. Prostitutes appeal to Pope. Panda mating fails. Veterinarian takes over. Include your children when baking cookies. Clinton wins on budget, but more lies ahead. It's taking a while, but it's coming around. Plane too close to ground, crash probe told. Miners refuse to work after death. Juvenile court to try shooting defendant. You know, maybe these are too deep for you guys. Stolen painting found by tree. Two sisters reunited after 18 years at checkout counter. I'm just reading what they say. You'll have to figure them out. War dims hope for peace. If strike isn't settled quickly, it may last a while. Cold wave linked to temperatures. Enfield's couple slain. Police suspect homicide. Red tape holds up new bridges. Typhoon rips through cemetery. Hundreds dead. Kids make nutritious snacks. Now listen close. Hospitals are sued by 7-foot doctors. New vaccine may contain rabies. Yeah, forget these. All right. Now you gotta listen to this one. This is kind of funny, but this is an excellent thing somebody sent me. John invited his mother over for dinner. During the meal, his mother couldn't help noticing how beautiful John's roommate, Julie, was. She had long been suspicious of a relationship between John and his roommate, and this only made her more curious. Over the course of the evening, while watching the two interact, she started to wonder if there was more between John and the roommate than met the eye. Reading her thoughts, John volunteered, "I know you must be thinking, but I assure you, Julie and I are just roommates." About a week later, Julie came to John and said, "Ever since your mother came to dinner, I can't find the beautiful silver gravy ladle. You don't suppose she took it, do you?" John said, "Well, I doubt it, but I'll write her a letter and ask her just to be sure." So he sat down and wrote, "Dear Mother, I'm not saying you did take a gravy ladle from my house, and I'm not saying you did not take the gravy ladle, but the fact remains that one has been missing ever since you were here for dinner." Several days later, John received a letter from his mother, which read, "Dear son, I'm not saying that you do sleep with Julie, and I'm not saying that you do not sleep with Julie, but the fact remains that if she were sleeping in her own bed, she would have found the gravy ladle by now." Now there is one wise mama. Whew, what a letter to get in the mail. All right, the title of today's lunch talk is God's Presence. And you have to ask how you're going to spell this because it can go either way. But I want to talk to you today about God's presence, first of all, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. And it's interesting to me that before you can really offer anything to God, you've got to receive something from God. See, there's so many people in the world that think, well, I'm going to go do something for God. I'm going to give God something. I'm going to offer him something. Until you receive his gift, you have no gift to offer. And the problem with religion in the world today is it is man's attempt to come along and present presence of some kind, your life, your money, your time, something. You say, well, God, I want to present something to you, and hopefully by me giving my gifts to you, then you'll come to me and you'll give something to me. Scripturally, you can't back that up. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came before the foundation of the world. If you remember when John was baptizing in the River Jordan and Jesus came and he looked up and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Bible says that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. It had been decided long before he showed up here. That decision was made. God had decided that we wouldn't make it without him. So he decided to make the gift his own son, his own life. So you cannot, and I had a conversation Monday with a guy who grew up in a religious, in a religious system that is about doing and performing and jumping through the hoops necessary and checking off your deals and doing whatever you have to do, and that's going to get God to love you. And I explained to him, I said, look, you got nothing to give God. Because until you get from him what he's offering you, you're not even in any state or condition to offer anything back to him to begin with. And I explained to him before lunch, we sat out in the car and I went through this whole thing about the gift of eternal life and that Jesus had paid for it completely. And I said, how would you like to pray and receive that gift? He said, well, I'm not ready for that. And I said, okay, I respect that. He said, I don't want to do it flippantly. And the longer we talked, the more I realized he was not unwilling to receive the gift. He was very frustrated that no one had explained to him how to do this in the midst of all this religious stuff that he had gone through. And that God has presents to give us, but the primary present he has to give us is his own son's life, this gift of eternal life that he offers. Now, if you guys take notes ever, I'm going to plow through a bunch of verses today. And if you want to write these down, that's fine. These will give you some ammo for yourself and maybe to share with somebody else. How do you get these presents that God has to offer? Matthew 7, verse 7 starts out like this, the 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. And listen to verse 9. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And my kids say, Daddy, I'm hungry. And they say, can I have a piece of bread? I don't, go out in the yard and get a rock and go, here, let's watch them, bite into this. It's absurd. So you say, God, help. Well, he's not going to yank your chain and mess with you. You say, help, he's going to help you. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, now listen to verse 11. If you then being evil, we are human beings with evil tendencies. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, we do basically the right thing more times than not. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, I am convinced that there is so much stuff on the planet that never happens and in our own lives just because we simply don't ask. I pastor a church. I have a cell phone. My cell phone bills were off the charts, so I called up the other day to talk to the cell phone company, and I said, look, I'm on this plan with 1,400 minutes, whatever. I'm still exceeding that. Is there something else out there? And the lady says, well, that's it. That's the only thing we have. I said, well, is there like a supervisor I could talk to that she can manually go in and change my minutes from 1,400 to 2,000 or something and just has the authority to do it? Well, I don't think so. I said, well, do you mind if I talk to one? Well, hold on. So she goes off, can't get a supervisor. Well, she comes back and says, well, I can't find a supervisor, but let me transfer you to our government division. And a long story short, they transfer me somewhere else, and it turns out there is something for nonprofits for 2,000 minutes a month, an additional 500 on the weekends for the same price I was paying. Now, why did all that happen? Because I asked. I go into hotels with my wife. I go up to the counter. I got a room booked. You know what I do? I say, I'm here with my wife. We've got an evening together. Have you got like a suite that nobody's using? If you need somebody in it, I'll volunteer. I ask. You know why? Because all they can say is,
no.
That's a lie. All they can say is yes or no, or you shouldn't even ask. People tell you all your life, all they can say is no. Ask God for it. All they can say is no. Then why are you going to ask him? If all somebody can say is no, don't even bother asking. The truth of the matter is all he can say is yes or no. But you better ask. And God has more stuff for His people. He has eternal life for you initially, but beyond that, once you are His child, guys, God has presence you can't believe. And I'm not talking about getting rich. I'm talking about being rich spiritually and in your life, the things that matter long term. I sat yesterday over at DTS, a seminary here in Dallas, with a gentleman who's visited our church. He's from Liberia, and I want you to hear this. He's from Liberia. His name is Koke, and I may bring him with me over here one day just for you to meet him. He's left his wife there with three small children, to come get his education. They have no electricity in Liberia. Their country's been in war for 7 years. The infrastructure hasn't been rebuilt. He's seen people die like you and I see people, you know, get colds. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I sat with him and talked to him and listened to him. And yesterday, he bows his head and blesses his food. And then he came up from this blessing and said to me, he says, you know, in America, you pray, you bless your food sometimes. He says, when I look down and bless my food, I thank God for a meal. Because in Liberia, it's every meal. It's one meal at a time. He says, we have to live by faith. So he says, when I look down and see food, I am grateful for the food I see. And I ask God for the next meal. And we have one meal at a time. He told me about some pastors in Liberia. He said these guys do their job, whatever, trying to meet the needs of the people. Nobody makes hardly any money. And I said, well, if these pastors, let's say I wanted to help a pastor in Liberia, what does it cost to keep a pastor alive in Liberia per month? And he said, oh, they could probably live for $100 a month. And I think, God, what am I doing? What am I thinking? I mean, I'll go out in an evening and spend $100 on Christmas presents somebody's not going to like anyway. You see what I'm saying? And you start putting that, I'm not saying, well, we ought to send all our money to Liberia, but I tell you what, guys, I would factor in this God's presence and what you're going to give to God. I'd ask yourself this Christmas, what are you giving to God for Christmas? And I don't know how you calculate these things, but I feel very uncomfortable. I've told you already, our kids, we're going to try to go through the toy chest here and find toys that are intact, that they're just not playing with, and take them somewhere out of our house in the house where they don't have any. And I recommend when you're thinking and all panicked about what you're going to give to the kids and all your relatives you don't see and like anyway, sit down and say, Jesus, what are we going to give you for Christmas? And whether it's your church or some charitable, you know, organization, you better be thinking about what you're giving to Jesus for Christmas. Guys, you don't have Christmas without Jesus. You don't have life without Jesus. And I'm just getting a reality check. I want to be around people like this guy from Liberia, because that's the real deal. It's just an amazing thing. And he believes in asking. And he has discovered that God can meet your needs one day at a time, living by faith. There's a passage in John 4:10 that says, Jesus answered and said to her, this is the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He said to this woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew what I had for you, you'd ask for it. Instead of water in a jar, you'd have living water in you, not just now, but forever. There's another place in Acts chapter 8 where this guy, verse 18, and when Simon saw, there was a man named Simon, not Simon Peter, saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered him money. This guy had made a living doing some kind of magic stuff, and he saw the apostles, they'd lay hands on somebody and get the Holy Spirit. He says, man, what's this cost? He says, I'll give you money for this deal. How do you do that? And saying, give me this power also that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, buddy. And that's, I've added the buddy. But Peter said to him, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You can't buy this stuff. You cannot imagine how many people I sit down and talk to and try to explain how much God loves them and that Jesus died on the cross and that it's a gift. Over and over, people say to me, Richard, it can't be that easy. And what you'll hear me say over and over is, easy for who? It may be easy for you, but it's not easy for the God of the universe to let his own son die so you can get heaven and abundant life in between here and there. It's not easy from his side. It's the most expensive gift ever purchased and offered. And part of the problem is we get this gift, but we don't offer it to anybody else. And I see myself as some kind of ambassador. I don't own a country. I just represent this kingdom. And I've got a gift that's changed my life and my eternity. And when I sit down with somebody, guys, I think it's time to cut to the chase. And of all times of the year to talk about God's presence to people, it's Christmas. They're listening. I'm sitting in a Starbucks the other day talking to somebody. They're playing Christian Christmas music in Starbucks. They don't even know what they're playing. And it's worship. This worship music's coming out of the speakers at this Starbucks. And I'm sitting there all, you know, getting cranked up because I'm listening to this song about Jesus at a Starbucks. And you don't, you know, go read about Starbucks. It isn't Christian based. But people can't help it. It's everywhere in the air. So bring this thing up. Talk to people about the greatest present anybody ever gave, this gift of eternal life. Romans 5, 6 to 21, you read through that on your own. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. And this compounds it about as tight as you can get it. The wages, if you sin, you're going to get payment for that. It's death. It ends up in death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's two ways to go. You sin, you die. Or you can go, God, you know what? If I sin, I die. I don't want that. You say you're offering me a gift of eternal life, and it comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want that gift. And it is as simple as receiving a gift, guys. It's like taking a Christmas box and saying, Merry Christmas, handing it to somebody. They can do what? They have two options at least. They can say, thank you, and take it. Or they can say, no, thank you, and walk away. That's not my fault if they walk away. And I told this guy Monday, he said, well, you know, I'm not ready to do that right now. I said, well, don't take me wrong. I said, people say, well, you're just trying to scare the hell out of people, literally. And I said, that's not my intent. But you need to be very aware that until you do this, the ball's in your court. You know too much now. And you are a walking time bomb. And you need to make a decision about this. All right, those are things the Bible talks about that God gives to us. Now, what do you give to God? What do you got to offer to God if you ever get this gift? What do you got? Let's hear some suggestions here. You're a Christian. You've received this gift of eternal life. You didn't pay for it. It's a gift. You took it. Now, you say, okay, God, I'm going to give you something. What can you give him? Your life, time, praise, what else? Witness, your mind, worship, what else? What can you give him? Time, praise. All right, now here's what I'm going to ask you. Two questions. What are you giving him? And if nothing, what are you going to give him? See, those are all very nice thoughts. But if you're going to say we're going to give him praise, then when are you going to give him praise? If you say you're going to give him your life, when are you going to give him your life? When you retire from your job and then you say, well, I'll come help God now? I mean, at some point, these things that we talk about and read about in Scripture have to become reality, but they don't become reality until we make a decision to do it. I mean, it's like somebody hearing about some guy in Liberia and $100 will keep a preacher alive for a month. You say, wow, that's awesome. And man, I've got $100 spare money if I just, you know, don't dip this month. And then the idea goes away and nothing ever happens. I'll tell you when something happens, when you hear a need or you have an idea and you do it. And the Bible says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. And we got too many people that go to churches on Sunday or lunch talk on Thursday or something and hear all this stuff and they go, ooh, that was interesting. And then you're gone. If you're thinking it now, start doing it now, or you'll forget it and it'll never happen. If you're going to give him your life, give him your life. If you're going to praise him, praise him. Walk out of here praising him and thanking him for who he is. If you're going to give him something for Christmas, start thinking and praying about it right now. What am I going to give Jesus for Christmas? And how am I going to do it? And I'm going to sit down and talk to my wife about it, or my husband, or the owner of the silver ladle, as the case may be. Let me read you what you can give him out of Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, I urge you, therefore, brethren, talking to Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You don't take your body and say, slaughter me, God, I give myself. That ain't going to do him any good anyway. It's a living sacrifice. You've sacrificed yourself, you've given yourself up, but you're still alive. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which only God can make you holy and only God can make you acceptable, which is your reasonable service. It's a logical thing to do. After all that God's done for us, he says, show up, present yourself to me. Give me your hands. Give me your feet. Give me your eyes. Give me your heart. Give me your brain. Give me everything you've got. And go where I want you to go. And do with your hands what I want you to do. And look at what I want you to look at. And say what I want you to say. You give yourself to him completely. And some people don't like to do that. But I can line people up here, me included, that when I do it my way and hold back and say, well, God, I like the idea of eternity with you, but I like life my way. My way stinks after a while. I'm going to meet with a guy this week, and he's kind of gotten, you know, he's kind of drifted over here for about a month. And I got him on the phone yesterday, finally, after calling him and calling him. He called me back, and I said, are you alive out there? And he said, yeah. He just said, it's just been a wild whatever month. And I said, well, when do you want to sit down and talk? He says, how about tomorrow? I said, great. You just start drifting. You've got to present yourself every day. Say, God, what are we doing today? Or you will screw up another day, lose another day. And if you try to hold on to your life, the Bible says you lose it. If you lose it for His sake, that's when you find it. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. Here's the good and the bad news. You can do whatever you want to do, but He's coming after you. And you do not want to be chased down by this God. Because it is His gentleness and it is His kindness that leads you to change your mind and come back. But He will take whatever means are necessary to get your attention and bring you home. And I just didn't hearsay. I've been in this one. And He will come after you if you were His child. Give yourself to Him. Present yourself to Him. There's another great one back about the gift from God in Ephesians 2, if you want that one, just in the sequence here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then we skip down here and read you another one. James 1:17. Listen to this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good thing that you've got comes down from God. Everything in your life. You got a wife, a husband, kids, anything you've got that's a good thing, it came from God's hand. That's where it comes from. No matter what He gives you, no matter what you give Him, I'm going to tell you what I think is the ultimate, when you talk about God's presence, to me that is the ultimate gift. Changing the spelling is God's presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. And there is a passage in 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'm going to read you verse 15, just a couple of verses here, four verses. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And listen to this. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. It ain't going to be about faith anymore. It'll be by sight. And the day is coming when Jesus comes back or we die, when we will see Him as He is, and we will behold His glory, His power, His majesty, His might, and have an opportunity to do all these things we talk about now, but in person. And God's presence may be the best present that you'll ever get. And I don't know where you stand on receiving His gift, but I highly recommend, if you haven't come to the place in your life where you said, God, I need a relationship with You. I need You to live in me and through me. I believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to give me this gift. And I know I can't pay for it, but I take it freely today. And I thank You for loving me. I ask You to come live in me and through me. And now, God, I give You back what You've given me, my life, a real life. And I'm going to live it between here and heaven for You. But Lord, I pray, and as the revelation ends up in the last book of the Bible, the prayer is, Maranatha, even so, come Lord Jesus. Why? Because it'll be better to be home than be here any day. And I'm looking forward for the day when we are in God's presence and can see Him as He is, not through a mirror darkly, as the Bible says, but then face to face and behold Him as He is. Think about God's presence, what He's given you. Think about what you're going to give Him. And let's spend more time thinking about being with Him forever than being here forever. Because I don't want to be here forever. It's got to be better than this. All right, let's pray. And our Father, we thank You so much for this time and this place, for Your presence here with us, but also, Father, for the untold number of presents You give us all along the way, but the ultimate present of Your life, of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that makes this whole life worth living and even possible. Because it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. And I thank You for each person here, Father. And I pray that You'd make us more aware every day of how blessed we truly are. And that we would spend some time this year or this Christmas thinking about what You've done for us, but then asking You what You would have us do for You. And if it requires sacrifice of any kind, Father, to seek out ways to bless those who can't bless us in return. And to truly find out what it means, that it really is true, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And find out what it is Jesus wants for Christmas and make that possible for Him, beginning with our very life and then all that we are and have. Use us this day, Father, to bring honor and glory to Your name. And we pray it all in Jesus' name that makes it possible. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. This program has always been about not only providing daily encouragement, but also daily challenge to help us grow in our faith, to continue being shaped into the person God desires us to be as His hands, feet, and voice to our hurting world.
You know, not only is that the mission of the Richard Ellis Talks program, it's also the great commission of Pastor Richard himself to clearly share the simple message of the gospel in a way that leads people to Jesus, to reach everyone together. So these 25 talks of Christmas this month is a creative way for you to reach a friend with some encouraging teaching. We've made it real easy for you to do just that from the website richardellistalks.com. You'll see the Christmas Talks Advent calendar, where every holiday-themed talk can be listened to, downloaded, or shared right from each day's door. The website is richardellistalks.com. So before we part ways for today, I'll remind you that you can automatically receive a direct text on your phone each and every morning that will link you to the most recent Christmas talk on the website Advent Calendar. Simply text the word Richard to our toll-free phone number, 855-6-RICHARD. That's the word Richard to 855-6-RICHARD. All this month, it's some Christmas words of hope, insight, and encouragement during the holiday season, when perhaps we need to hear the message of Emmanuel above the rest of the seasonal noise. So to automatically receive the daily link, text Richard to 855-6-RICHARD, and you'll have these 25 talks of Christmas whenever and wherever you're ready to listen. So until we get together for the next Christmas talk, thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.